to Daf Kuf Samech Vav. So we got to the last three lines of Kuf Samech Heim Beis. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tanur Rabbanan. Dehav, if a person says Dehav, if it says in the Shtar Dehav, gold, so Ein Pachos Mi Diner Zahav. So it's no less than one Diner Zahav, one gold coin. Let's say the Shtar says Dehav Dinarim, or dinarim dahav, either one of those languages. So then the lach is ein pachas mishnei dinarim dahav. So then it means at least two, since it says in the plural dinarim, and it says dahav dinarim gold or dinarim dahav. So that means there are at least two gold coins. Let's say it says dahav bi dinarim. There's a bay there. It should be gold in dinarim. So what does that mean? Ein pachas mishnei dinarim kesef dahav. So what does this mean? There shouldn't be any less than two dinarim kesef that are worth gold, right? Saying dahav, the worth of dahav as it comes about in dinarim, as it comes about in silver coins. So the Gemara analyzes this b'risa now one by one. The first statement was Amar Mar, dahav ein pachas mi dinar dahav. We said if you say dahav, if it says gold in the text, it means no less than one gold coin. So the Gemara asks, like we saw yesterday, Ema Nischa, maybe it means just a block of gold. How do you know it means a coin, a gold coin? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Dichsiv, Dikasiv Matbeya. It says there's a coin. It says Matbeya Dehav, or Dehav Matbeya. So then the Gemara suggests or asks, Ve'ema Priti. Maybe it's referring to gold, a little small coin, not a dinar of Dehav, but a Priti, which are like little pennies made of gold, let's say. So the Gemara explains that prite de dehava lo avdi inchi. People don't make gold into small prutos. If they're going to make a gold coin, it's going to be a large gold coin, not prutim of gold. So fine. So next stage of the Raisa. The Gemara says, zahav bidinarim. If it's a gold that comes about the worth of gold in dinarim, we said, ein pachos mi bishnei dinarim kasef zahav. It's no less than two silver coins that have a value of gold. So the Gemara says, maybe it means Ema Dehav Priche. Maybe what it means is Betray Dinar Dehav Kamar. Maybe when it says Zav Bidinar, it means gold in fragments, in broken parts. In Priche, small little broken pieces of gold. How do you know it's referring to silver? It doesn't say silver in the Brisa, in the text anywhere. So the Gemara says, Amar Baye, Yad Bal Hashtar Al Tachtona. The one who has the shtar always has the lower hand, so therefore we're going to say it's referring to silver coins that's worth gold, as opposed to gold fragments. So that's how we're interpreting. So in the next few lines is a bit of a machlokas in the girsa here. So the Gemara takes out the entire parentheses, but the way the Rashbam has it, it's really supposed to have a question. If you look at the four lines down from the top of the Rashbam, it says ihachi. So the girsa that Rashbam had, ihachi, reishanami. If we're saying now that the text Zav Bidinarim is really referring to silver coins, so why don't we say the Reish as well is referring to silver coins too? So if you just jump in that Rashbam, I don't want to read the first half. He's going back to the previous Brice from yesterday. We're going to ignore that. But if you go down in the same Rashbam, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down, narrow lines down in the Rashbam, in the middle of the Dibur Maschil, it says, Bein Dehach Masnisa Dekatani. So this Brice that we're dealing with right now, it says, Dahav Dinarim or Dinarim Dahav. That line, it says, Ein Pachas Mishnei Dinarim Zav, which we interpreted to mean no less than two gold coins. Neima, let's say, Ein Pachas Mishav Eshnei Dinarim Kesef Zav. Maybe it really should be referring to silver here as well. Just like we interpreted the Seifa talking about Kesef. Maybe the Reish is also talking about Kesef. So now we're jumping the parentheses back in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar of Ashi, Reisha Dekasev Dinare. Seifa the kasav dinarin. So what's the difference of dinare versus dinarin? So Rashbam says here, Reisha the kasav dinare mashma dinare zahav, gold, and aval dinarim sta mashma shel kesef. So that's a dinare means gold, dinar means silver. It doesn't really explain why that is. Just as a thought, we know I saw this recently somewhere, that when there's a nun or nun sofit, however you say it, it always is coming to be maktin, to make something smaller. So maybe when you have a dinarin with the nun at the end, perhaps it's just a smaller value, a kesef. But either way, dinare means gold and dinar means silver. So that's why the Braisa, which said dinare, we interpreted it as gold. But the Seifa, which apparently used the text dinarin, we interpreted it as referring to silver.
You're explaining.
What's the Svara?
There's a More available kesef. If it's achtevat dinarim stam perush dinarim shel kesef. And when you say dinarim is kesef, ve'idu kasher askim shel zahav, regim leparesh ve'lomar dinarei zahav. Al ken kashe noket lashon smichut dinarim. Afilo meinu mnavar zahav is still meaning at dinarei zahav.
So it's kind of like saying when you say coins, coins mean silver. If I say coins of, I'm really supposed to say coins of gold.
But
if I say coins of, it's understood. It doesn't mean the regular coins of silver. It has to be coins of gold. Okay. So Gemara now brings a raya that there is such a distinction. Minot tamer, how do you know that there's a difference, the shiny bein dinarei versus dinarim? So the Gemara explains as follows. Quote, a brisa that appears in Maseches Krisus, the Tanya. Ha'isha shehayu alea safek chamesh ledos. A woman who had given, she had given birth five times, but safek whether she gave birth to a vlad or nothing at all, what type of miscarriage it was. So just a bit background, the yoledes, when a woman gives birth, she needs to bring a carbon in order to go finishing the tahara process and in order to, for her to be allowed to eat kachim. But let's say she gives a birth to five different vlados. So then she has to bring five different carbonos. But the law is, let's say she miscarries five times and unsure what it is. So she has to bring at least one carbon, but she doesn't have to bring five. So if shehayu alev, she has five sveikos, safek chamesh ledos, or she has safek chamesh zivos, a woman who's a zava, who sees three times, so now she has to count shiva nikim, and afterwards she has to bring a karba. So now she's five events of her becoming a safek zava, unclear whether she is or she's not. So the halacha is mevia karbon echad, v'ocheles bezvachim. All she has to bring is one karbon for, and that's going to cover all the sveikos, and then she's permitted to eat kachim. The vein hashar ala chova, and the remaining four sveikos is not an obligation upon her to bring it. Just look at Rashbam for a second here. Rashbam says six line narrow lines up. Mivia carbon echad litahir mitumasa. It is going to purify her from the tumah of zava or yoledes. Tur laolav a tur lachata. She has to bring two torim, two different birds, and once an ola, one's a chatas. Veino nechal. These are not going to be eaten. An ola is never eaten. An ola is kulo kalil. The ola never gets eaten by anyone. The chatas typically is eaten, but in this case the chatas is not eaten. The chatas ha'of, that's ba'al ha'safek, the din is ein necha. You don't eat a chatas ola, a chatas of rather, if it comes because of a safek. And look at the next Rashbam. Ve'ein hashar alechova. So when she has five sfekos, she only brings one, and the remaining four she doesn't have to bring. Because shebekushi hetir la'avi chatas ha'of ala safek. It was with great difficulty that we even permitted the first carbon to be brought on her suffix. Kidei latara mi suffix tumasa mishum dahid chatas az lekvura. Why would we want to bring a chatas if it's going to be burnt? We're not allowed to eat it. Normally a chatas is supposed to be eaten. So it was really with great difficulty that we permitted bringing the chatas and the suffix in the first place because it's not going to be eaten. But we, again, at the same time, we don't want her to be stuck tumah for the rest of her life. And the chayvan dimitara b'karbon echad. So one, she's purified with the carbon, one carbon. So then, have a good Shabbos, Andy. We'll miss you. Okay, send regards to the givers. Sorry. And so then, Rashbam says the very last line of this piece: Sulo maisi chatas misafik lavil beisapsul. That's why there's no obligation to bring the remaining four, because the bringing of the first one alone, that itself was really very difficult for chachamim to allow. So that's the din by five sveikos. Back to the Gemara now, finishing off this brisa. Let's say the situation of Hayu Aleha Chamesh Ledos Vadal. She gave birth five times, and they were all children, good births. Now she has five obligations. And then Chamesh Zivos Vadal. And then she has obligations. She was a Zava five different occasions. So then Mevia Carbon Echad, she's allowed to bring one carbon, Ve'ocheles Bezvachim. And she's permitted to eat kachim, but she still has a shar aleha chova. So the outstanding four other ones are going to be an obligation for her to bring still. Okay, so now Gemara quotes a brisa. We haven't gotten to the raya yet. We're trying to prove what the difference between dinari and dinarim mean. So the Gemara says, a maisa, one time an event happened. V'amdu kinim, the baskets of the two birds that were brought, b'yushalayim b'dinari zahav. The word dinari is used here, dinari zahav, and became very, very expensive. And women were having children all the time, and they had to bring carbonos, and they were expensive. So Amar Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Hama Avon Hazeh, Im Alin Halayla. So this lashon of maybe a meon hazeh. Achlok is whether this was a lashon of shvua or not a lashon of shvua. Rashbam says this was a lashon of a base of mikdash nishba. He took a shvua in the base of mikdash. Others say it wasn't really a shvua he took, but he made a declaration and said, "Im alin halayil, if I go to sleep tonight, ad shihu bedinarim nichlas lebezdin. If it still remains, they're so expensive for each of these baskets, I'm going to stand in bezdin. I'm going to enter into bezdin." I'm going to teach the women they have five obligations to bring karbanos or chamesh zivos vados. I'm going to teach them the mevia karban echad veochelas mizvachim ve'ein hashar alechova. He's going to, it's so expensive, so he's going to make a declaration that they only have to bring one, and the other four they're completely exempt of. So we see from this statement here that dinarei is referring to zav. Now, as a side point, all the Mefarshim are trying to figure out how is the Reb Shimon able to do this. If Midaraisa, you have to bring five karbanos because she had five vlados and vados, how could he say you're exempt from bringing the other four? So Rashi writes in Maseches Krisis on this sugya, he says it was simply a rasha haisa. It's a rasha, and with that harasha, Bezdin has the right sometimes to undo an obligation on a deraisa level. The Ritva writes that no, this whole discussion of having to bring five, even the other chovos, is only the shita of the Rabbanim. But there is the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who says that you only have to bring one. Even though she has five obligations, bringing one carbon is going to cover her others. And that's very much lichadchila in the world of Rabbi Akiva. So all he did was just paskin like Rabbi Akiva, instead of paskining like the Rabbanim. But then Ritva suggests something else, that even within the world of Chachamim, hold that in general, if she has five vlados vados, she needs to bring five karbanos. That itself was a chumra that the Chachamim made. Even Chachamim agree on a deraisa level that the other four are only voluntary. Once you bring one karban, the remaining four are only voluntary. The Chachamim made a chumra to make them obligatory, but then when they expensive and it became so expensive, so then he knocked it down to the deraisa level of only being voluntary. So that's how Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was able to do this. Be it as it may, so we see from this part of the braisa that dinare refers to dinare zahav. So now going on to the top, the Gemara says, then so they change it, v'amdu kinim bo bayom b'rahasayim. And then by the end of the day, the price became cheaper, and it went down to just cost a quarter of a dinar. But we see from here, the sugya, that the word dinare is referring to gold, which would mean that dinarim refer to silver. That's the raya. Yeah, exactly. That's what he was trying to accomplish. Exactly. They knew their business.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Gemara now says, the top of Kuf Samech Vav Amud Beis, the two dots, Kasev Milamala. So the Mishnah, we saw yesterday, I think it was, that if you say on the top, Milamata says Masayim, the top says 200, and the bottom says 100, or the other way around, we always go Achar HaTachtam. We always go based on whatever said on the bottom. So the Gemara says now, Tanya Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us that Yilmad HaTachton Min HaElyon Be'os Achas, that you can learn the bottom from the top. If they're two different texts, the bottom says something different from the top. If they're off by one letter, so you can learn, the Tachton could learn what the Elyon's saying. Whatever the Elyon's written, there's some mistake. Look at the Rashbam for an example here. Rashbam says, Tanya Rabbanan, Yilmad HaTachton Min HaElyon Be'os Achas, for example, Shechaser Min HaTachton, Kigon Chanan Mechanani, Anan Me'anani. So if it says, let's say the bottom says Chanan, and the top says Chanani, so you could understand that really the bottom should really be Chanani. There's a mistake on the bottom. So even though we always go based on the Tachton, if the Elyon has an extra letter, so even the Tachton is going to follow what the Elyon says. Aval lo b'shtei elsios, but if it's two letters, kigon chanan mechanani v'anan me'anani, where it's missing two letters, the nun and yud at the end, then you're not allowed to learn it. That you can't learn. So the Rashbam says the case is here where the sofer forgot, where chaser, he left out a letter, but the tosos on the bottom here, dibur maschil aval, it's a little bit involved tosos, but it's clear from tosos, it's where one letter got erased. Letter got erased. So now the shaila is, how could you ever have, so I understand for the Rashbam, it could say Chanan on top with the long nun, and the Bam could say Chanan, or the other way around. The top says Chanani, the Bam says Chanan. Because when the sofer was writing the bottom letter, he just forgot the name and he wrote a long nun. But according to the Tosfos, who said a letter got erased, so there should not be a long nun at the end. It should be Chanani on top and Chanan on the bottom with a regular nun, and just because the yud got erased afterwards. Why would you make a long nun at the end of Hanan if it is to talk about a case where the letter got erased? They should both be the same exact nun. So that's a discussion all that Chanan are trying to figure out. For Tosfos, if it got erased, both nuns should be the same. So what the Drisha says is when they give the example of Hanan and Hanani, it was Lav Dafka. It wasn't referring to a letter, even though Hanan was a nun like this, and Hanan had a long nun, and Hanani had a nun that was short. That was the example that was brought. That really didn't mean that wasn't the example they're referring to. They're talking about a name. Let's say, it's not a good example, but let's say Shem Yishmuel. So with the Mem, Shem is the same as Shmuel, so nothing changed in the letter. They just picked a bad example in the Gemara, but it was Lav Dafka. It's talking about a case where the letter wouldn't change whether it was in the middle or the end of the letter. That's how they explain, the Drisha explained within Shitas Tosfos. Now, the Tumim explains that no, they're talking about a situation before the Menatzpech letter. The Menatzpech letter is that the Gemara and Megill talk about that the Mem in the beginning and the Mem in the end changes, or the Nun or the Tzadi, all the different letters that change. This was talking about a time where the Nuns were not different when they appeared in the middle of the letter and at the end of the letter. So therefore, has to help us out. And therefore, even for Rashi, Hanan and Hanani would have the same type of Nun. Okay, so anyways, the Gemara says, when are you allowed to learn the Tachton from the Elyon? It's only when they're off by one letter. But when it's off by two letters, the Gemara says, "Avalo b'shtei osios, kigon chanani mechanani ve'ani menonani." Maishna shtei osios. Why can you learn if they're off by two letters? Delo, because Dilma mesrame shem ben arba osios v'havalei palga d'shma. Let's say they're talking about a name that's four letters long. Okay, so if it's four letters long, and if it's missing two letters, so now you can't learn a half a name from Elyon Tachton to Elyon. That's too much to learn. So therefore, they didn't allow that. So the Gemara says, one letter we understand, the miut of a name we understand, but half a name to learn Tachton from Elyon, that you can't learn. Ihachi, that's the case. Osachas namui. So even one letter off, you have the same as Svara, because Dilma Misrame Shem Ben Shteosius. Maybe there's a name that's two letters long.
Like Dan.
Dan, right. So Dan, let's say, so the bottom says just Dalid. So now you're learning half the name from above, that's the same Svara. Shteosius, Havale, Palga, the Shema. So the Gemara says the reason isn't because half the name. Elishtei osios hainu taima dilma misrame shem ben shalosh osios. Maybe there's going to be a name that's three letters long. What's a good example of three letters long? Hanan. And let's say the bottom one has only the ches. So havalei ruba deshma. You're learning most of a name. So now the Gemara says half a name we could tolerate. But to learn most of a name, the tachton me'elyon, that's too much. So therefore they drew the line and one letter we could tolerate. But not one letter we could tolerate, but not two letters. Okay. Gemara now says,
when the Mishnah is referring to this point, is it referring to referring to different amounts?
It's referring to the names, I believe. Although the Mishnah was talking about amounts, this is referring to the names.
So why?
I don't know if it could come out the same way with numbers, with like being off by one letter. Masai Mana, right. But this is a similar topic. In Masai Mana, it's not off by, the letters aren't off, they're completely different words. Masai and Mana.
I'm saying that the logic of learning the bottom from the top, we learn in the Mishnah that probably he changes Mana at the bottom, he said.
Right. So what the Gemara is telling us here, even though we always follow the bottom, there's sometimes we can even look to the top.
But not in quantity.
Exactly, not in quantity, right. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa Pshit Elit, it's obvious to me that Seifel Milamal, if it says in the document Seifel on top, which is a large type of jug, and Kefel Milamal, which Rashbam says it's talus that they would fold up, Lushan of Kefel, with a kuf. So Milamata, Hakol Holech Achar Tachtum. We always follow the bottom like we saw in the Mishnah. Okay, so then the Gemara says that, there's a bit of debate here, I'm not really quite sure what the debate is, but we have this klal called Achar Tachton, but the way the Rimagash says this, strangely enough, is that, and the Rambam also apparently, that the reason why we go based on the Tachton here is because it's Kevin Shiyado ala Tachtona. Apparently the Kefil is cheaper than the Seifil. But then if it was the other way around, if the Seifil was on the bottom and the Kefil was on top, then you'd follow the top. That's the klal that apparently the Rimagash and Rambam say. But that seems to go against the Pashup Shah of the Gemara that doesn't go about the Yado ala Tachtona. Always goes based on whatever is on the bottom, the tachton, which is what the Gemara clearly says here and what the Mishnah says. So I don't know how they deal with that, but that's a machlokas in the Rishonim. So anyways, we see akol holech achar tachton. I guess they mean it al yado ha tachtono. That's probably what they mean. That the not the lower part of the text, but the lower amount is probably how they view this price. But we, the simple reading is we follow whatever is written on the bottom of the document. So now, Rapapa asks, Kefil Milmalav, Sefil Milmata. So let's say it's the other way around now, where the Kefil is on top and the Sefil is on the bottom. So now there's a different concern here. It's not a concern of do we follow the bottom text, or the top text, or the lower amount, or the top amount. My Michashin, are we concerned Lizvuv Olo? Are we concerned that somehow it's really supposed to be Kefil on the bottom as well? But now a bug got on it somehow and caused the kuf to turn like a samich, and now it looks like a samich. Is that something we're concerned with, or are we not concerned with it? Rashbam just explained what the suffix is. Michashinon lizvuv shechisa ragla shel kuf. Somehow it got in the way of the kuf on the bottom, the leg on the bottom, and asa samich. So could this be a situation where even the tachton can learn from the elyon, and the Gemara ends off as a teku? Not sure if that's a concern. So Rashbam explains what's the teku here. V'hamotzi mechaveir lefaraya, if the burden of proof is upon you, who's being motzi the money? The chayvan de mistapik dina lebedina, heyach yotzia miyad hamachzik. Since it's a safek, had a paskin in Bezdin, so we leave everything in the status quo, and you have to motzi mechaveir lefaraya. So Rashbam points out, though, below domi lemamon hamuta basafek dekai melan cholkin. This is not similar to a case where we normally say, when a mamon is muta basafek, we just say cholkin. Why? The Iker case of the Mamon Muta B'Safek, we don't even know what happened at all. People are just making claims, like the house of the Bais Nafal al Aviv of al Beno or al Ishto. No one knows what happened. They're just they're trying to make a claim. Kigon Shenagach, Shor Shenagach, Chazaparva Nimzat Ubra B'Tzida, or Nafal Bais Alav al Imo. Hilkach, in that case, they throw their hands up and say, Poskim Lehen Bezdin Nesadin Sheachloku. Yachloku is just the best thing we could do. About kol makum she'alsa halacha b'teku, whenever the Gemara gives a teku, hol ve'ena dayanim yodim l'psokadin, they don't know how to paskin, they know the details, they know the circumstances, but they just don't know the psak. So how you show us, can they just kind of walk away from the case, and we say, amachzik yachzik b'mashab yad, they'll hold on to it, and we're not getting involved here. So what Rashbam is really getting involved here, we've discussed this many times in the past, whenever you have these types of pshara psakim, yachloku, shudididaini, kol dam gvar, yachloku, it's always a question whether that's simply like throwing the hands up, it's just we're walking away and this is the best we could do, or that's more of a din, that we're paskining a shah. This is how to approach the din. So that's what's going on here, it seems. Let's finish off the Gemara, the last few lines of the Amud. Hahu dahava ksabe shismea vizuza. If a document says 600 something, and then one zuz. So unclear what the 600, is it pennies, is it quarters, is it dollars? 600 and then one zuz. So shalcha rav shravya kame d'abaye. Shismeya istiri vizuza. Does it mean 600 istiri? What's istiri? So istiri, the slime, and then one zuz. So what, there's four zuz per sela, right? So they mean four, let's call them dollars. It's the same dollar to quarters would make sense for us. So it means $600 plus a quarter. That's the same ratio, 1 to 4. Oh, Dilma Shismeya Priti Vizuza. Or maybe it means 100 pennies, as opposed to $100, 100 pennies, call them, Vizuza and a quarter. So that was his Shaila. 100 what? So Amrle, they sent back to him, Dal Priti, remove Priti. Priti is not even a suffix. We're not going to use pennies. Because Dilo Ksvi Bishar, you don't write pennies. When you write a star, you just round it off. Round it up, round it down. You don't write pennies in a star. Dilo Ksvi Bishar. The Sukkim Mesakinle, they kind of sum it up, but they round up the amount and they add up the pennies to whatever the closest dollar is. Umashile Zuzi, they turn it into a quarter. I'm using just modern day. They round it up to the closest quarter, closest 25 cents. So, my Amris. So, in the end of the day, what's the Psak? So, the Gemara says, Shis Mea Istiri Vizuzi. It means 600 Istiri Vizuzi, 600 Sela. $600 and a quarter. And that's how the Gemara says, and Yad Bal Hashtar al Tachtona, but the one holding the Shtar has the lower hand. So you don't get the full amount of 600. So even though the Gemara says, we're not saying 600 pennies, we're saying 600 Sela, but not actually Sela. So what are we referring to? It's really Yad Bal Hashtar al Tachtona. What does that mean? So the Machlokis in the Rashbam here, what type of Istar, what type of Sela we're referring to here? So Rashbam on the top here, and we'll stop after this Rashbam, he says, firstly, istari means slime, but yad bala shala tachtona means a smaller type of sela. V'lesle ella istari d'inin kol istari palga d'zuza, which is a half dollar, as opposed to a full dollar, is referring to a half dollar, a half sela, kach perish Rabbeinu Chanano. But nearly, says the Rashbam, I think what's going on here is Dezuzi Yakabel, it's really referring to a zuz, which is a quarter of a sela, which is really referring to quarters. The Astiri Havislaim, the Yesh Bechalachad are by dinarim. In each sela, there's 4 dinarim, so it's referring to here that he gets 600 dinarim, 600 quarters, as opposed to a full sela. Aval istari pshite, if it really referred to half sellas, like Rabbi Nachmanal said, so then that's called the sella medina, Rashbam says, and the Gemara doesn't use the lashon sella medina, so therefore he thinks it's referring to not a half a sella, but it's really referring to a quarter of a sella.
Azuz.
Azuz, exactly.
He's getting 601.
Exactly, 600, exactly, that's the point, right. Okay, we'll stop here, everybody. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Oh, yeah.